A turquoise sea glitters alongside a hilly coast. Lush greenery covers the rolling landscape. The word Herbie, in the shape of a car, moves from left to right, then turns into a fringed blanket. A title appears, Herbie Goes Bananas. The bird's eye view shows people walking along the beach and playing in the waves. A blue and white bus drives along a winding road overlooking the water. The bus continues alongside the ocean. Several domed outcrops jut up from the water near a small peninsula. The bus crosses a bridge. People splash and play in the water below. Waves roll up onto a sandy beach close to a sandcastle. The bus drives past large waterfront buildings and palm trees. It passes between a building with a word on it reading Bar Oceano and a statue of a rider on a seahorse. An ornate, pointed dome sits atop a clock tower. The bus drives by on the street below. The bus comes to a stop next to a display of colorful pinwheels and puppets. A dark-haired young man wearing a green shirt steps off the bus. He smiles as children walk past holding balloons. He walks toward the water. More vendors display clothing and other items on the bustling waterfront. A short man wearing a tropical print shirt pushes past a boy and exits the bus. The short man approaches the dark-haired man and playfully hits him with a hat.
Hey, Pete, are you sure this is the place?
Huh. You saw the letter. This is the place.
Hey, listen, pal, don't you think it's a little funny? I mean, your uncle just giving you this race car?
Sentimental reasons.
Yeah. Would a cracked block be a sentimental reason?
Look, all we gotta lay out is the storage fee, and you got the money.
I got the money.
A shoeshine boy looks up from a customer.
All finished?
He runs after the two men.
Shine?
No, thanks.
You want personally conducted to a Puerto Vallarta? Show you plenty good time.
What do you think, Pete?
It's not in the budget. No thanks, son.
Okay, where do you want to go? Paco show you free on house.
Pete takes a paper from his pocket. He unfolds it and shows it to Paco.
Taller, mechanical, Avenida.
Cardenas. No problem. I show you exactly.
Paco guides the two visitors onward.
I like Americans. Americans are very smart people. Sunday I go to America.
Oh, yeah? Well, when you do, you look up Pete Stanchek here. He'll put you up, show you all the best ice cream parlors in town.
That sounds good. You see them there? That's Avenue Cardenas. Turn left, that one. Go 2 blocks, you'll find Mechanico.
Thanks.
De nada, anytime. Welcome to Puerto Vallarta.
Gracias.
See you later, alligator.
Paco runs back the way he came. Pete and his companion continue ahead.
Cute kid, you know what I mean? Well-mannered, polite, didn't have his hand out.
An endangered species.
Paco hides behind a concrete block. He looks around the corner, then grins and snaps his fingers. Paco runs across the street and passes a hotel. In a hotel room, a blue-eyed man with graying temples looks at a film strip.
That light area. Right around 4 o'clock.
I can see it.
He gravely lowers the small viewing device and gasps.
And you say this is Inca?
You're the expert, you tell me.
Did anyone else spot this?
They were looking for oil.
And where is this?
His consultant, a blonde man, sits at a table near a man with glasses. The blonde man smiles.
In the jungles. South America.
Mr. Shepard, there's nothing to be gained by our playing games. This could very well be an undiscovered Inca city. And you know what that means. Pre-Columbian artifacts.
And gold, Mr. Prindle.
And what do you want?
Cash. And plenty of it. Because they're going to throw the key away if they find us stealing that stuff.
Yeah, it's national treasure or something.
Is there another print of this?
That's it.
Gentlemen, we're in business.
An auto yard.
There's gotta be some mistake.
Ah, no, señores. No, señores. This is not a mistake. This is Señor Douglas Carr.
And you're telling me that this thing won the Monte Carlo Grand Prix?
That is what Senor Douglas he told me. He say he would have won the Baja race too. But his girlfriend did not make the curb. Herbie, he see it, he stopped. He no finish the race. Senor Douglas say, it's here.
Pete's friend raises his eyebrows.
Let's turn it over.
La llave, señor.
The mechanic gives Pete a key. Pete gets behind the wheel. Pete looks to his friend, who nods skeptically and briefly spreads his arms.
Okay, so it runs. Let's take it. If nothing else, it's transportation home.
His friend nods, then reaches into his back pocket. The short man pauses. He looks at Pete. Pete turns to the mechanic.
Señor.
Sí, señor.
Mind if we take it around the block first?
Okay, señor.
Pete's friend smiles. He quickly gets into the passenger seat. Pete drives Herbie past the mechanic and goes through a gate, turning right onto a cobblestone street.
Cute kid, huh? Doesn't have his hand out. He doesn't have his hand out because it's in your pocket. You check that side.
Shepard, Pindle, and their partner Quinn exit the hotel.
See if you can find us a taxi.
Quinn sets down two suitcases. He walks to the curb. Paco steps in front of him.
I'll catch a taxi, senor.
Lost kid.
Taxi!
All right. 12 o'clock, the National Hotel Bar.
I'll be there.
Paco runs over to Prindle.
Carry a bag, senor?
Move along, Sonny.
No trouble. I carry a bag. Very cheap.
Put the bags down. I said put the bags down.
Hey, kid, come on. Get away from me, will ya?
Taxi!
Shepard pushes Paco away.
Very sorry, senores. Please, you'll forgive me.
Paco runs across the street and dashes out of view. Paco tosses a black wallet in the air and catches it. He runs into an alley and hides behind a stack of crates. One of his legs sticks out from behind the crates. Paco opens the black wallet. He takes a brown wallet from an apron tied around his waist and opens it. Nearby, Pete drives Herbie around a corner.
He said he liked Americans, and then he put his arms around us.
And then took us to the cleaners. Never mind reenacting the crime, just look for the little. There!
Pete looks over his shoulder. He reverses the car.
See that grubby little foot out behind that box? A cold beer says it's attached to Paco the dead.
His friend brings a finger to his lips. Paco holds the naked film strip up to the light. Pete and his friend exit Herbie. Paco turns. He puts the film strip in the brown wallet, then takes off. Pete chases him.
Come back here, you little bandit! We need that worse than you do!
Don't scare him! Don't scare him! Just talk to him nicely!
Paco jumps over a wall. He runs through a yard where laundry hangs on a line, then through a doorway. Pete jumps over the wall and runs after Paco. Pete's friend tries to climb a box and fails. He grabs a ladder. It falls over. Paco runs past a gray-haired woman. Paco closes the door behind him. Pete sees the woman and stops. His friend runs through the yard.
I'm sorry, lady. Excuse me. We're looking for a little kid. Did you see a little kid? I'm sorry. Me too, lady.
He follows Pete. Outside, Paco crouches by Herbie. Pete and his friend stand on the other side of the car and look around.
You look that way.
Pete and his friend walk in opposite directions. Paco moves to the front of the love bug. Pete's friend looks in a basket, then walks on. Now a cab stops outside the hotel. Prindle loads in one of the suitcases.
What took you so long?
Hey, it's not easy in this town.
Mr. Prindle, if you want to get in touch with me before, you can use this number.
Shepard checks his pockets. His face falls.
My wallet's gone.
You left that up in the room.
Who's that kid? That crummy little kid!
Now, Paco runs along a busy street. He stops near a juice stand. A police officer turns and stares at him. Paco smiles. Paco walks past the stern-looking police officer.
Buenos dias.
The officer turns away. Paco sprints off. Meanwhile, Pete jogs alongside a building. He looks briefly at a boy, then hurries on. Pete's friend passes two boys. He stops and regards them, then keeps walking. At the corner of a building, Pete and his friend bump into each other.
I don't know. He must have skipped town.
Oh, no, he didn't. This time we sack him. You take him low, I'll take him high.
Paco looks around, then stands by a mailbox. Pete's friend peers around a bush. He dashes across a walkway, then hides behind a palm tree. Paco opens the brown wallet. He takes money from the wallet and pockets it, then moves to put the wallet in the mailbox. Pete's friend dashes toward him.
Oh, no, you don't.
Pete takes the money.
Is that yours?
No.
Is it ours?
Si.
Grab loose of that.
Pete's friend looks in the brown wallet.
Nah, looks like that's all he got.
I'll take over dipstick. I had to tan your bottom.
Pete and his friend walk away from Paco. Paco leans against the mailbox, scowling. Paco pulls the black wallet from his apron. Shepard and Prindle search across the street. Shepard points.
Look, look, there he is!
Hold it, kid! Hold it!
Wait a minute,
hold it, kid!
Paco puts the wallet in the mailbox.
Shepard! Wait!
Why? What we want to that mailbox?
Let's get the kid first, just in case. Come on.
Shepard and Prindle run off. Paco sprints down a street. He halts. Ahead, Quinn leans out a police car window.
Everybody stop that boy!
Paco turns and runs. Another police car blocks him.
Stop that cat, someone! Hey, you! Grab him, anybody!
Paco jumps up on an elevated curb and runs away. Quinn chases him, followed by three policemen.
He's over here, come on!
Four policemen exit the second car. The four policemen follow the others. Shepard and Prindle jump onto the elevated curb. They run through a busy cafe where other cops mill about. Paco runs back to Herbie and crouches by a front wheel. Quinn runs out to the street, followed by two policemen.
Yes, wait. Look up there. Over here, too.
Paco hides behind Herbie. Policemen stop and search a nearby car. A younger policeman walks toward Herbie. Paco turns. A woman walks along a wall carrying a large bag of clothing. The police finish searching the other car. Paco dashes to the woman carrying the bag of clothing. He hides behind her as she walks. Two policemen walk through a doorway and look around. Herbie turns his headlights toward them. The woman with the bag of clothing walks past a shop. Paco darts inside.
Busca allá arriba.
Sí.
The two cops split off. Herbie turns his headlights to face forward. One of the policemen enters the shop.
¿Dónde está el chamaco de la camisa roja? Es un chiquillo de esta estatura, con gorra, camisa roja, zapatos tenis. Tú lo conoces.
The clerk shrugs and shakes her head. Paco peeks out from inside a large basket behind the policeman. Outside, Herbie rolls toward the shop. A policeman comes outside. The policeman walks around the front of Herbie and opens his driver's side door. He looks around inside. The policeman closes Herbie's door and walks away. Herbie rolls forward once more and stops by the shop door.
Estoy hablando, por favor, Lupita. Hazme caso.
Paco peeks out.
Entrégamelo. Tú conoces a todo mundo en este barrio. Yo lo sé.
Paco turns.
Entrégamelo, chamaca tonta.
Herbie opens his hood. The policeman waves a dismissive hand at the clerk, then walks further into the shop. He looks under a table and steps through a doorway. Paco tips over in the large basket. He looks around, then runs outside into Herbie's open trunk. Herbie closes his hood. Shepard and Prindle run into the street and look around. Pete and his friend approach Herbie.
Well, like you said, transportation. Let's close the deal and get out of here.
Pete and his friend get in. Paco opens the hood and starts to climb out.
There he is, in the car!
Prindle and Shepard run toward Herbie. Paco ducks and the hood closes. Herbie speeds toward Prindle and Shepard. He rears up on his back wheels. The two men jump out of the way. They gape as Herbie zooms around a corner, then turns onto a busy street. Pete's friend looks at him wide-eyed.
What are you planning to sleep over at the local jail, Ed Foot?
I'm not doing anything.
Pete's friend looks around.
Hey, maybe this bug did win the Grand Prix.
I think we got ourselves a race car.
With the villains.
Yes, that's it, officer. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Shepard looks through his wallet. His smile fades.
Is something missing, senor?
Oh, no, no, everything's fine. It's all here.
We will continue looking for the car and the boy, of course.
Thank you, officer. We'll catch up with you.
Prindle leads Shepard and Quinn away.
The film's gone.
Why would a kid like that take it?
I don't know. We gotta get it back, though. I'll never get another one.
Now, a crane hoists Herbie onto a cruise ship named Sun Princess. Pete and his friend watch from the dock.
Steady, boys! Steady! That's the car that's gonna win the Gran Premio of Brazil!
Something's weird about that car, DJ.
I know! It's dynamite, and it'll blow the doors off anything in the race.
Pete and his friend DJ grab their bags. Paco opens Herbie's trunk. He looks around, then closes it. Later, a taxi stops at the dock. Shepard, Prindle, and Quinn get out. The Sun Princess glides away in the distance.
We blew it.
The car's on the ship. The boy's on the ship.
That thing's going to Rio.
Its first stop is Panama. When it gets there, we'll be waiting for it.
On the ship, a captain sits at the head of a table in the dining room. A middle-aged woman and a young brunette wearing glasses sit at a nearby table.
Well, the booty was taken aboard the man of war, and the enemy vessel scuttled. The women were then turned over to the crew.
The select ones going to the officers, naturally. The wenches were escorted below, and believe me, there was no poetry, or by your leave, or how lovely you look tonight, madam. One got to the matter at hand in short order. Each captive seaman was then given 100 lashes with the cat. Spread eagles on the rigging.
I hear Captain Blythe.
Blythe turns sharply, glaring at the steward.
They didn't last long in those latitudes, I can tell you. In no time at all, they were bloated carrion for the birds of prey.
A diner widens her eyes.
You do have some of the green turtle soup, Mrs. Perkins? It's the chef's specialty.
The steward pops his lips. Mrs. Perkins starts. The middle-aged woman watches.
Well, they no sooner broken out the grog than the entire Spanish armada was closing on them.
Everything looks so tempting. Yes, well, doesn't it?
They were met with stiff resistance as they clambered aboard.
Blythe grabs a knife.
It was parry and thrust. Thrust and parry.
Blythe freezes. The knife impales a lit candle. Blythe lifts the candle from its holder and smiles politely.
Oh, permit me.
Thank you.
The middle-aged woman watches, smiling.
Anyone else?
Blythe replaces the candle. He shoves the knife at the steward.
Where was I? Well, the deck was awash with blood.
What are you going to have?
Was treacherous at best.
I think I'll have that captain on a bed of roses.
The young woman looks over her shoulder at him.
Aunt Louise, you're in cars, you're wrong. Well, I know. I've never regretted a moment of it.
Pete and DJ stand by the door with the maitre d'. Louise gestures to her table.
Right this way, gentlemen.
Louise subtly primps her niece's appearance. The maitre d' approaches with Pete and DJ.
Well, my goodness, what a pleasant surprise. Two handsome young gentlemen as our dining companions. I'm Louise Trent.
Davy Johns.
Pete Stanchek.
Pete, how do you miss my niece Melissa? Well, sit down, sit down.
Just lucky, I guess.
The men eye Melissa.
Are you gentlemen going to Rio?
Not exactly, ma'am.
Oh, I was telling Melissa, Rio is a city of romance. You really, to get the most out of it, have to share it with someone. Wasn't I, Melissa?
Aunt Louise. Well, personally, I won't have much time for that sort of thing, you see. I'll be utilizing every moment I have copying down material for my doctorate.
You're going to be a doctor.
Yes, of Latin American cultures.
Celery? Cool it with a doctor, Beth. Well, so what does take you gentlemen to Rio?
Oh, well, actually, we're headed a little further south. We're entering a car in the Brazil Gran Premio. Pete here handles the wheel. The rest of it is my lookout.
You're a race driver?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, well, isn't that fascinating? Oh. Oh, I just love race cars, don't you, Melissa?
Not really.
Her face falling, Louise bites into a celery stick. Pete and DJ share an uncomfortable look.
Well, hungry?
In a cargo hold, a man carries a tray. He looks around. He sets the tray on a crate in front of Herbie. The man sets a smaller crate in front of the first. He sits and uncovers the tray. The man rubs a knife and fork together. He cuts a piece of lettuce next to a roast chicken. The man pauses with a piece of lettuce at his open mouth. He gets up and walks away from Herbie. Herbie inches toward the meal.
But I checked the pressure 5 minutes ago. Believe me, everything is fine. Number one, okay.
His hood opens.
Yes, I know I kept him blind. But I tell you, the dial is right on the nose. I see it for myself.
Paco grabs the chicken and an apple. The hood closes. The man sits. He rubs his knife and fork together, starts to cut his food, and finds it gone. He uses the utensils to look under the lettuce and a tomato slice on his plate. He lifts the plate. As he turns away, Herbie's hood opens. A chicken bone lands on the plate. The hood opens again. Another bone flies out. The hood closes. The man stares at the plate, wide-eyed. He picks up a bone. The man leans his ear toward Herbie's hood.
So you think you can steal Armando's dinner and get away with it, huh? Well, we're gonna see about that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Open up. Open up, little car. No car's gonna eat my dinner, eh? Open up, I tell you now. Open up!
The hood opens, knocking Armando over. He rolls along the floor. An apple core lands on the plate. The hood closes. Armando stands. He grabs a crowbar. Herbie drives forward. He moves past Armando and turns left toward other crew members. Herbie turns right at the end of the passageway and rounds the corner. Armando hurries to the phone.
The number one hole, yes. Send me your cargo. It's a broke loose. Send your off-watcher down here fast. No, but I mean real fast. Say.
Armando hangs up. Herbie drives past two men in a freight elevator. A security team arrives, led by a silver-haired officer.
What's going on?
That car's no driver.
Herbie drives past.
Better notify Captain Blake.
The security team jogs after Herbie. Armando dials another call. The team hurries down a passageway. Herbie turns into a nook surrounded by boxes. The security team pauses nearby.
Shh. All right, man. Spread out and be careful.
Paco peeks out from Herbie's trunk, then ducks back inside. The security officer turns. He points to his right. Two crewmen move as directed. The officer points upward. Three of his underlings sneak up on Herbie from behind. The officer looks up at the others, then waves.
No!
His five underlings pounce. Herbie takes off, breaking through the crates in front of him. At his table, Blythe uses a red phone.
And I'm to believe that this car ate your chicken dinner?
Hey, and then he spit out of the bones.
Who is this?
Wiper, third class, Armando Moch, sir.
Do you know the penalty for drinking on duty, Wiper, third class?
No, Capitano, Armando no touch not one drop. No, please, see, the car then he eat my apple. I know this because I hear with my own ears. Hey, muncha, muncha, muncha.
Muncha, 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 huh? Do you know what I'm going to do with your ears?
The steward gestures to Mrs. Perkis and the other diners.
Where is the car now?
He went for a drive after dinner.
Oh, and was it smoking a cigar and drinking a brandy? The perpetrator of this little jest will receive 50 lashes before ship's company and then set adrift on a captain.
The steward gives Blythe a pleading look. Blythe leans forward.
Perhaps you'll be good enough to tell me about your grandson, Snooky, another time, Mr. Perkis.
Mrs. Perkis offers a tentative smile as he goes. Later, Blythe descends the cargo hold stairs and arrives behind Armando. He takes a cloth from Armando's pocket.
Wiper, third class, Armando Mochia.
Aye, aye, sir.
Kirby rounds a corner and smashes into a stack of crates, spilling glassware. Blythe stands in Herbie's path, arms outstretched. Kirby approaches. Blythe pushes Armando in the car's path. A net unfurls from the ceiling, trapping Herbie. Armando and Blythe approach Herbie.
Okay, men, secure it. Get the box and make it good.
Capitan, mancha. See.
Armando opens Herbie's hood. Armando crouches. He spots Paco and gapes. Armando points at Paco. Blythe's mouth drops open. Inside Herbie's trunk, Paco smiles shyly. On a sunny day, Pete and DJ stand with the steward in Blythe's office. Blythe holds a whip behind his back.
Now, how did you want to handle that?
What do you mean, pay for it?
Or did you plan to, reassemble the stemware yourself?
It's not our responsibility.
Blythe cracks the whip.
I'm your captain, judge, and jury. I'll decide what's your responsibility. Captain.
The steward grimaces. Blythe's expression softens. He picks up a clipboard.
The cargo manifest states unequivocally that you, Peter Stanchek, are the sole owner of the car. You are the consignor and the consignee. Your car did the damage, ergo.
Yeah, but Pete wasn't drunk.
Start!
Blythe pushes the steward aside with his clipboard.
I have been advised by our public relations department to waive all charges of kidnapping and smuggling illegal aliens into a foreign country.
Where is that kid anyway?
In the storeroom, where he will remain until the ship reaches Panama, at which time he will be turned over to the port authorities and returned to his native country. In the meantime, your automobile will be impounded until your obligations are met.
Pete purses his lips. He and DJ move to the door.
Captain.
The steward glances at Pete and DJ. Blythe smiles.
Gentlemen. I do hope you've been enjoying the cruise so far. Remember, we have a shuffleboard tournament on main deck at 4 bells. And disco lessons in the lounge at 6 bells.
He does a little boogie. Pete and DJ stare.
Thanks anyway.
The two young men leave the office. Later, Pete and DJ walk along the deck.
Maybe we can write the captain an IOU and pay him out of our winnings at the Grand Premio.
There's no way we can raise that kind of money. Maybe we should just chalk it up to experience and work our way home.
Maybe Aunt Louise will bail us.
You are a beautiful dreamer, DJ.
Wait a minute. She says she likes cars, and she's trying to get her niece hooked up.
Yeah?
A grin spreads across DJ's face.
No.
Wait a minute. All you gotta do is just to keep the doc enthralled with your tales of derring-do while I initiate Aunt Louise into the delights of Formula One racing.
I don't like it.
Oh, come on, man. Nothing good comes easy. Lots of charm.
At night, costumed passengers move through a crowded lounge. Blythe wears a period naval uniform with a cravat and feathered hat. Louise wears a Bo Peep costume.
You may not believe this, but this is an exact replica, down to the very last button, of the uniform worn by Lord Nelson when he defeated the Spanish Armada. Seems like it belongs on me, doesn't it?
I love a uniform. Gives a man a certain...
Louise blows toward Blythe's ear. He stares.
At ease, madame!
Captain!
Excuse me, I must circulate among the cargo passengers.
Louise extends her crook toward Blythe. DJ stops her.
Anyway, like I was saying, it's the absolute thrill of a lifetime when you finally see that car that belongs to you streak across that finish line a winner. But not only that, you see, you are part of the technological advancement of the automotive world.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I wonder where the kids are.
Louise spies Melissa and Pete moving to a dance floor. Melissa wears a khaki safari outfit. Pete wears a silver racing outfit.
They seem to be enjoying themselves.
Yeah, they're really hitting it off. Pete's a great guy. He's what I call a beautiful person.
Louise turns toward Pete and Melissa. DJ mouths words at Pete.
Please look at me.
As Pete dances with Melissa, he smiles at her, then looks over her shoulder toward DJ. DJ gestures toward Pete. As Louise looks at him, he covers by grabbing a pepper shaker. Pete turns his attention back to Melissa.
My kind of racing.
They stumble.
Oh, pardon me. That's the third time I've done that.
Who's counting? I'm having a great time.
Are you really?
Yeah.
DJ makes a hugging motion.
Usually when we race, means towing the brute across Texas in the middle of August, looking for a Denny's, then bedding down in some flea bag motel. Now here I am, soft lights, sweet music, pretty girl.
Mr. Stanchek, you don't really have to say those things.
Well, I know that. It's just that you're different than other girls I've known.
Melissa adjusts her glasses.
I can well imagine.
No, it's a compliment. For one thing, you don't giggle when there's nothing funny. And you listen when I talk. A man looks a long way for a girl like that. And,
They stop dancing. Melissa gazes up at Pete. Pete removes Melissa's pith helmet. He takes off her glasses. Our fingers
touch. You are pretty, Melissa.
She lowers her shy gaze, then looks up at him with a vulnerable pout. She glances down once more, then meets his gaze. They dance, holding each other close. A smile lights up Melissa's delicate features. Later, they walk hand in hand down a corridor.
This is it.
Melissa moves toward a cabin door. She beams at Pete.
I just want to thank you for this evening. I really enjoyed myself.
Me too.
He grins, and so does Melissa.
Well, good night.
She turns toward the door.
Melissa?
She turns back. Pete leans toward her. They kiss. They part and hold each other's gaze. Pete leaves. Melissa gazes after him, a slight smile on her lips. Now, Pete enters his cabin. DJ lies in bed.
This is the pits.
But did something go wrong?
We went wrong when we got into this. I don't like playing games with people.
Oh, come on, just a couple of more days. I already got the money. Aunt Louise gave me a check. We got the car out of hock. And get this, kiddo. She is gonna sponsor us all the way. We name it, she buys it, no limit. I mean, all you gotta do is just keep making like Burt Reynolds.
So that's the deal.
Well, I sort of read it between the lines. Anyway, the important thing is that we're back in the running. Nothing's gonna stop us now.
DJ leans back against his headboard. Pete clenches his jaw and casts a troubled look toward the door. In the cargo hold, Paco lies on a mattress on the floor. A wire cage surrounds him. Herbie stands parked nearby, his wheels stuck between wedge blocks. Herbie turns his wheels and inches out from between the blocks. He slowly rolls toward Paco's cage. Herbie stops just outside the cage. Paco opens his eyes.
Hi.
Paco throws off a blanket. He gets up from the mattress and approaches Herbie.
The captain sure was man, wasn't he? What are they gonna do with you? They will send me back where I live, with the orphans. But it's okay. They put me back. I run away again. Can we be friends? What's your name? Okay?
Paco looks at the 5 and 3 on Herbie's hood.
I just call you Ocho, okay?
Herbie reverses slowly and turns. Armando walks nearby. He stops and gawks. Herbie continues backing up. Armando conceals himself behind a crate as Herbie pulls up next to a support beam where multiple key rings hang. Herbie's radio antenna extends and bends toward the keys. Paco watches. He grimaces and leans over sideways as Herbie's antenna hooks a key ring. Herbie rolls over to Paco's cage.
Attaboy, Ocho!
Paco extends his arm through the wire fencing. Armando nods and sneaks around a corner. Paco takes the keys. He reaches through the wire fencing and grabs a padlock holding the door closed. He uses one of the keys to unlock it. Armando makes a phone call. Paco closes the cage door behind him. He hugs Herbie.
Thanks, Ocho. I'll pay you back. But you better go back where you were, so you won't get in trouble.
Herbie's antenna retracts. Paco smiles and gives the car a pat. Now the security team enters the hold. Paco spots them and freezes.
Uh-oh.
Herbie opens his passenger side door. Paco climbs into the back seat. Herbie closes his door, backs up, and takes off down a passageway.
There it goes! Don't let it get out of this hole, man!
Herbie passes the freight elevator. Paco looks around as Herbie backs into the elevator. Herbie extends his antenna. Up and down arrows mark buttons on the elevator wall. The antenna presses the up button.
Check over by the elevator, man!
Paco ducks down in the back seat. The elevator gate closes and its platform rises. Now a waiter in a gaucho hat moves through the busy lounge. Nearby, Louise stands next to Blythe and a group of other passengers.
In those days, a captain was a captain. And a ship was a ship, not a floating carnival. And the only women aboard were dragged there by the scuff of their neck.
Whoa, gives me goosebumps just thinking about it.
Well, the captain is just having a little jest with you ladies.
I'm only telling it like it was. It should be. Yes, when you talked about liberation in those days, you were talking about battles, nations, empires.
Life turns. Herbie bursts in with a chef on his hood. The chef slides across a table and smashes a tray in Blythe's face. Pinned beneath an ice sculpture, Blythe sits up.
Oh, my word.
Cake and icing cover his face.
Sorry.
Blythe raises his costume's eye patch. Later, Louise follows Blythe from the bridge.
But, Captain, how can a car release a boy with a key? Explain that.
I can't explain that any more than I can explain the Bermuda Triangle, madam, nor do I intend to try.
Captain, I am the sponsor of that little car. He's going to win the Brazil Gran Premio.
If you can bring that off, madam, I will not only part the Red Sea, I will tint it magenta.
Oh, Captain, I appeal to you as a woman, a desperate, helpless, single woman. Spare that car.
Lorelei and all of her sirens could not make me veer 1 degree. My course is set.
Oh!
He climbs a ladder. Herbie lies upside down on a plank jutting over the railing.
Ship's company! Stand to witness punishment!
Sir, some of the passengers might not understand.
I am simply abiding by the traditions of the sea, Chief Steward.
The steward salutes.
By the powers vested in me as the captain of this ship, I hereby deem this vehicle a menace to life and limb and the very safety of the vessel itself. I herewith commit it to the sea, and a fate well deserved. Doff hats!
Crewmen remove their hats. Indoors, Paco watches through a window.
Seamen! Do your duty.
Crewmen tilt the plank. Herbie's wheels spin. Tears glisten on Paco's cheeks. The platform tilts. Blythe sneers. Herbie slides from the platform and drops toward the water. Herbie splashes into the ocean. Passengers and crewmen lean over the railing as Herbie bobs in the ship's wake. Blythe smirks and puts on his cap. Herbie disappears into the ocean. Indoors, Paco hangs his head. A crewman stands guard nearby. Paco moves away from the window and mournfully crawls onto a sofa. Later, the Sun Princess glides under a bridge with a large latticed arch. Pete and DJ emerge from a gangway. They approach Louise.
You two?
Oh, bag and baggage. Anyone remotely associated with that little car is being put ashore. If it hadn't been for that steward, we'd have been keel-hauled.
I'm sorry it turned out like this.
If I decided to get out of Needlepoint and into racing, it was my choice.
Pete glances at DJ.
Actually, there's more to it than that.
Steady, steady.
We needed backing, so DJ pitched you on the car while I...
pitched my niece on the fantail. I've got too much mileage on me not to recognize an operation when I see one.
You mean you knew that?
Louise smiles slightly.
Well, I was hoping that something might happen between you and Melissa.
Melissa approaches, unseen.
She's really a wonderful girl.
That's just it. She's terrific, but...
a little klutzy for someone like yourself.
Not everybody's made for each other. I really like her, and I don't want her to get hurt. I plan to tell her, but maybe you could sort of smooth things over.
Back, miss.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Melissa, there you are. I was just looking.
You meet such interesting types on ships.
Melissa!
Sorry, boys.
Louise follows Melissa. Pete gazes after them. DJ pats his friend's shoulder.
Come on, pal.
Pete and DJ grab their bags and leave. They pass Prindle and Quinn.
How do you say in Panamanian,
we need a job?
A crewman escorts Paco.
Excuse me, I don't know where you're taking this young boy, but I have some prior claim on him.
Oh, are you from Juvenile Authority?
Yes, I am.
No, he's not!
Paco elbows him and runs. Paco darts around a corner.
Grab him! Grab that kid!
Follow that kid! He's wanted by the police!
A nearby sign reads, "Welcome to the Port of Balboa." Outside, Paco hops onto the back of a passing truck. Prindle and Quinn run outside and stop, gazing after him.
We're gonna get that kid!
We'll get him.
Now, a cargo ship waits in a lock of the Panama Canal. Smoke rises from its yellow chimney. In a control room, a worker walks alongside a control panel and stops to examine an instrument. A second man enters.
You better come take a look at this.
In a canal lock, Herbie bobs in the water. The second man looks at Harv and points at the now grimy little car.
Well, what the devil is that?
I don't know. Supposed to be the Major Maru.
Sporting a bit of rust, Herbie putters down the canal. Now, by a tranquil river, four men carry a small fishing boat. Other men scrape a second boat's hull. Paco sits on a ramshackle wooden dock nearby. He holds a makeshift fishing rod over the water. Herbie floats nearby. He opens his hood, then closes it.
Mojo?
Herbie sinks beneath the water's surface. Paco gets to his feet. Herbie bobs up again. Paco doffs his hat and jumps into the water. Paco swims toward Herbie.
I'm coming, Ocho! I'm coming!
Paco makes his way toward Herbie. Herbie dips below the water's surface again. Paco turns toward shore.
Ayúdenme! Ándale!
Vámonos!
The four men look toward the water. Herbie opens his hood. The men run over. Later, several men use a mule to help them pull Herbie from the water. Paco helps guide Herbie onto the shore. Herbie lies on his side. The men push on Herbie's roof and tip him right side up. Herbie's front wheels slump outward. Paco touches Herbie's hood. A mustached man approaches Paco.
What is the matter, muchacho? It's an old rag.
But he was my good friend.
Your friend is good for nothing but junk.
Paco wipes tears from his eyes. The mustached man heads off with three friends.
Hey, even junk or something?
Two of the other men nod. The four men continue on. Later, Paco piles stones. He builds a low enclosure around Herbie. Paco stands and walks in front of Herbie. He grabs his cap and puts it on. Paco picks up his fishing rod and gazes at the dirty, rusted car.
Biojunk.
A tear shines under Paco's eye.
Vaya con Dios.
Paco turns and walks away from Herbie. He turns back and waves, then continues on. Herbie shudders. Paco turns back. The love bug shudders again.
Ocho!
Paco throws aside his fishing rod and runs up to the car.
Come on, Ocho, you can do it. Try!
Herbie's front wheels straighten. Water pours from his twin exhaust pipes.
Please, Ocho, come on! Please! Don't give up now!
Sooty exhaust belches from Herbie's tailpipes. The car jiggles and shakes.
I help!
Paco stands by Herbie's left rear fender and tries to push him forward. Paco grimaces with effort. Herbie rolls over the low stone enclosure. The four men approach holding tools.
It's those men! Come on!
He gets in the driver's seat.
You're whipping a dead horse, muchacho.
The men approach eagerly.
We gotta get out of here, Ocho.
This is our car now. Go play someplace else.
The burliest man leans in the open driver's side window.
Okay, muchacho. Ay.
Herbie's door opens, knocking him back. Herbie takes off, throwing the other men off their feet and covering them with black sooty exhaust. Herbie zooms along a winding road. Paco sits in the driver's seat. He takes his hands off the steering wheel and grins. Paco looks up. He opens the sunroof's soft cover. Paco stands with his head and shoulders out of the sunroof. He spreads his arms and lays his head on Herbie.
Our friend. It takes one to be one. Take some time till the lights start shining on a friendship.
Paco waves at a passing ship. Now they drive on a paved road on a stone causeway.
Step up if you need one. Stick out your hand. They soon understand it's a friendship. A buenos dias. Come on, try. A pat on the back. A wink of the eye. That's what friends are.
Children run with Herbie and Paco.
Amigo, it's nice if you got one, but it's nicer if you're not one to stop looking for more. The world is full of people who need you so much. A million hearts there to touch. And I bet you a banana, manana, you'll have.
Later, Paco and Herbie cross the large bridge with the latticed arch.
And I bet you a banana, manana, you'll have a new friend.
At dusk, Herbie drives along a country road.
A friend, it's nice when you see one, but it's nicer when you be one.
Herbie pulls off the road and ambles to a stop on a grassy overlook. His headlights switch off. Paco rests in the driver's seat under the dark sky. Rolling hills stand in the distance. On a new day, Paco kneels in a garage and paints Herbie's exterior. The word taxi and two smiley-faced flowers obscure Herbie's number.
You look good, Ocho, like a real taxi. Now we're gonna make lots of money. Then Paco never have to take nothing from nobody again.
Prindle and Quinn enter. Quinn shuts the door behind them.
Just relax, honey.
Quinn approaches Paco and twists the boy's arm behind his back.
Now where is it?
Where's what?
There was some film in a wallet you took from us in Puerto Vallarta. When we got it back, it was missing. Now where is it?
I don't know. Maybe it got mixed up.
What do you mean, mixed up?
With the other man's wallet.
He's lying.
Maybe, maybe not. Now you listen to me. I want that film back. I don't care how you do it. Just get it back. Because if you don't...
Quinn lights a blowtorch. The flame glows blue.
He's gonna cut this car of yours up into tiny little pieces.
You understand, kid, huh? Little strips to hang on your Christmas tree?
Comprende?
See?
Now, Pete and DJ work at an outdoor cafe. Pete wipes a table. DJ sets down a tray.
You know, Pete, I was just thinking.
He sits.
Do you realize that that car could have put us in the big time? We could have been international celebrities. You know what I mean? Endorsements? Groupies chasing after us?
It's that kid. Murphy's Law took over from the time we ran into that brat.
Hi, guys.
Speaking of four-foot crime waves...
DJ stands and puts his hands on his hips. Paco approaches Pete.
I couldn't say, I'm sorry if I make trouble for you.
Yeah, well, fine. See you around.
Paco, go. I just want you not be mad at me.
Paco turns away. He brings his hands to his face. Pete and DJ share a look.
Now, don't start that. Nobody's mad. It's water over the dam.
Paco looks up at Pete. He walks to Pete and throws his arms around him.
I'm sorry. Please, you forgive me?
Paco hugs Pete tightly. DJ suppresses a smirk. Pete glances around, then looks down at Paco.
Fine, kid. No hard feelings. Forget it.
Paco beams. He beckons Pete closer and whispers in his ear. Pete looks down at him, then points.
Straight back there through that hallway and to the right.
Gracias.
Paco leaves.
Glorioski just makes you feel good all over.
Wiping the table, Pete stops and checks his pockets.
He did it again.
Pete and DJ run after Paco. They approach a door marked Caballeros. They break down the door. DJ bangs on a stall. Pete looks out a window.
Come back here, you little bat!
Paco runs to Herbie.
Hey, that's our car!
Our car? How can it be our car?
I don't know. Let's get him.
Paco gets in the driver's seat.
We better get out of here, or those two guys are gonna hit you back.
Herbie takes off and makes a left. Prindle and Quinn wait by a public square.
Shepard's ready. He's got the plane. Good. Here comes the boy.
Herbie speeds toward them. Herbie races past.
Why that little double-crossing? Come on!
Prindle and Quinn hurry to a sedan. A traffic cop stops Herbie. Louise approaches.
Taxi! Taxi!
Blythe approaches as well.
Taxi!
Taxi! Taxi!
Paco puts on a cap. Blythe gets in through the driver's side door. Louise gets in through the passenger door.
They hit it.
PS6, the Silent Princess.
Song, please.
Louise and Blythe face each other.
You! I'm terribly sorry, but it's imperative that I return to my ship immediately.
So
you can have the cab after that.
Thank you. Well,
PS6, the Sun Princess.
Fly the wind song, please.
I said the Sun Princess.
We're real trouble now, Ocho.
And full steam ahead.
Herbie takes off and makes a right onto a busy street. Prindle and Quinn drive after them.
Where in places are you going, driver?
No comprendo, señor.
You people come prendo enough when you want to. Wait a minute.
Life removes Paco's cap.
It's that same kid.
And here's the biggie. I think it's the same car.
It's a ghost.
Let me out of here. Get me out of here. It's the yard arm for you.
Can't stop now, senor.
Meanwhile, Melissa stands near a double-arched monument. She draws in a sketchbook. Blythe looks up. Blythe spots her and points.
Melissa! Melissa!
Help!
Help! I'm being shanghaied! Help me! Help! I'm being shanghaied!
The kid, he robbed us again!
He shanghaied them.
Shanghaied?
Pete and DJ stare at Melissa. She spies two buses approaching. She sprints toward the first.
Senor! Stop! Could you please stop?
The bus drives past.
For Alto!
The second bus passes. She waves at a car. Melissa blocks a third bus. It stops short. Melissa approaches the door. The driver opens the door.
Muchas gracias. How much?
How far you want to go?
No, how much for the whole bus?
Huh?
Is $340 enough?
The driver beams. He looks around.
Lady, you got yourself a bus. Next bus, please. Todos para afuera. Acabo de vender el bus.
The passengers exit. Later, Herbie drives along a country road. The sedan follows.
Now, listen to me, son. If you don't release me this instant, I'll have you tied to a cannon to be discharged at sunset.
I can't stop. Two men said that they would cut a boat to little pieces, and two other men are very mad at me.
Far behind, the bus sputters over a bridge, trailing thick exhaust.
Is that banging noise new?
Just louder. It might throw a rod.
Is that serious?
Not if it happens in front of a hotel.
Now, Herbie drives on a road overlooking the ocean. Louise dozes on Blythe's shoulder.
Are we still in Panama?
Panama's long gone, Captain.
What? Let me out of here.
Paco spies the sedan in a side view mirror.
Hey, Captain, there's some men after me.
Herbie speeds around a corner.
No, Joe, not in there.
Herbie passes a poster advertising a bullfight, then turns left toward a stadium. The sedan drives after Herbie.
What was that?
We're at the bullfight, Sir Captain. Oh, this is exciting. I think it will be, Senora.
What did he mean by that?
A flower tickles his nose.
God bless you.
Herbie drives along a cobblestone path just outside the stadium. The sedan follows, then stops.
Turn in there.
The sedan turns left into a tunnel leading into the stadium. Herbie emerges from behind a lush bush. The sedan stops in a corral outside a bull ring.
This can't be right. Back up!
In the ring, a bull charges a matador's cape. The matador steps aside. Herbie drives into the corral.
We got it!
Herbie bumps the sedan, sending it into the ring. The sedan bumps the bull. Spectators stand, several punching the air. The bull turns toward the sedan. It scrapes the dirt with its front hoofs.
What are they gonna do? Just ignore them.
Paco, Blythe, and Louise look at the closed corral gates behind them. A man in a high-ranking uniform scowls. A matador approaches the sedan.
Vámonos, hombre! Pero sáquense de aquí! Están locos! Pero órale, afuera!
He throws his pink cape at the sedan. It hangs on a side view mirror. The bull scrapes at the dirt.
Come on, get it off the car.
Prindle yanks the cape inside the sedan. The bull charges and rams the sedan, flipping it onto its side. Prindle and Quinn climb up and out through the open driver's window. The uniformed man stares. The bull scrapes at the dirt again.
Come on!
Prindle and Quinn scramble down from the car. They run away from the bull and jump over the surrounding fence, narrowly escaping. three policemen enter the ring. Crowd members throw cans and other garbage at Herbie, still parked in the bull ring. Inside, Blythe clings to Louise fearfully.
Please get us out of here, kid. I'm not asking for myself, but I'm very worried about this lady.
How thoughtful.
Just shut up!
Pasen por esa puerta, rápido!
Sí, señor policía.
That first gangway. Move it!
Paco steers toward an exit. A matador backs up toward them. The bull charges. The matador falls onto Herbie's hood, then rolls off. The bull chases the policeman over the fence.
We're stopped. Where's the bull?
There he is.
What a magnificent animal.
I think you can see him better from here.
Blythe shoves her between himself and the window. The bull rams Herbie.
Go away, bull. Go, go.
Hey, Ocho, with it, I am gonna win with it.
Yes, you are. Let's get out of here.
Herbie drives in a circle. The bull chases. A pink and yellow cape covers Herbie's hood and most of his windshield. The bull rams Herbie again. Herbie weaves around, fishtailing a bit as he evades the bull. He comes to a stop.
Ocho, he's gonna kill you! You just can't stand here doing nothing! You gotta fight! Take a good look at him!
Herbie opens his hood.
He's the killer!
Herbie closes his hood. The cape flips down, pink side up.
He is going to fight.
That a boy, Ocho!
The bull and Paco stare each other down.
I can't believe this. 30 years at sea, and I'm gonna die in a bull ring.
Herbie uses his hood to wave the cape.
Hey, Toro!
No Toros!
As Herbie taunts the bull, the uniformed man grins.
Good, Ocho! There, boy, Ocho, stay with him! Okay, Ocho!
Spectators applaud. Trindle and Quinn peer over the fence. They share a disbelieving look. The bull lowers its head and scrapes at the dirt. Herbie spins a back wheel, kicking up dust. Herbie and the bull face off. Herbie turns his front and back wheels in opposite directions and shakes the cape. The bull charges. Herbie spins in a circle. The bull follows the cape, then runs off.
Attaboy, Ocho, you take him now!
Paco reaches for the sunroof.
Look, son, and I want you to know that I think of you as my son. If you get us out of here, I'll make you first mate of the Sun Princess, and you and your little car can stay in the lanai suite and eat at my table every night. The big boat will take you anywhere you want to go, okay?
Don't worry, Sugar Pretend, we got him now!
Paco pinches Blythe's cheek, then stands and pokes his head and arms out of the sunroof. The bull charges. Herbie rears onto his back wheels, and the bull runs beneath him.
They got voodoo down here, you know that?
The crowd gives a standing ovation. Paco grins. The bull walks away with its head down. Paco holds his hat in the air and beams at the crowd. Paco holds his fists above his head. The crowd continues their standing ovation. The high-ranking uniformed man throws a rose. Paco catches it. Herbie tilts his front left wheel, then raises his rear bumper in the air, making a bow. The uniformed man bows back. Paco glances at the bull. Herbie flings the cape behind him. Herbie spins one last time for the joyfully beaming spectators. Herbie drives toward an exit. Trindle and Quinn move off. As Herbie stops on the other side of the fence, people swarm him. In Herbie's back seat, Louise kisses Blythe's cheek.
Take a bow!
Paco helps Luis out of the car.
Nothing in this world will induce me to go out.
They'll be disappointed.
Don't pull on me.
Luis pulls Blythe out. Luis beams. A hesitant smile spreads on Blythe's face as she urges him forward. Paco bows, then gestures to Luis. She makes a deep curtsy.
You too, Capitan. Take a bow.
Blythe takes a tentative bow. He bows again, then looks around, smiling. His smile widens. Blythe salutes, then shakes his flexed hand by his head. He makes peace signs over his head, then blows a kiss to the crowd. Prindle and Quinn approach from a distance. Herbie's headlights glow, then fade. Blythe bows. Herbie opens his rear hatch. It knocks Blythe over on his face. Herbie opens his passenger door.
What's wrong, Lucho?
Paco spies the approaching villains.
Uh-oh.
Paco hops in the car. Herbie takes off toward the two men. They dash out of the way.
Wait a minute! I told you! Let's get Shepard in the plane!
They run off. The adoring crowd engulfs Luis and Blythe. Now, Melissa's bus spews exhaust on a country road. Pete drives.
Can't we go any faster?
Oh, we could, but we'd have to walk. The fact that we're moving at all violates every principle of the internal combustion engine. Hey, wait a minute.
It's Aunt Louise.
And Captain Blythe?
Pete stops the bus. He opens the door.
Louise, are you all right?
Ecstatic. Well, we just fought a bull and brought it to a standstill.
Looks like you lost, Captain.
Reverse your course.
We can't. We have to find that bull. There's some men after him.
Now, Shepard pilots a small plane over a mountainous landscape. Prindle sits in front. Quinn rides in the back.
What if he doubled back on us?
We'd have seen him. There's only one road around here.
Just keep looking for that crazy car.
Now, the ramshackle bus sits parked near a building. DJ lies underneath it. Louise crouches near him.
He doesn't understand bracket.
All right, then, get some wire.
Huh?
Wire.
Wire? Wire?
Wire?
Wire. Wire.
Wire.
Wire. Sounds like, fire. Fire.
Ah, sí. Fuego, sí.
Okay. He's gonna get something for you. All right.
The local lights a match.
Fuego.
Señor, no.
At a phone.
The Sun Princess.
¿Cómo se llama la princesa?
Tell the mate I've been stranded in Timbio. The Sun Princess.
Princesa.
It's a ship.
Sheep?
Now.
Sheep?
No, not a sheep. It's a ship.
Bueno. Now,
not sheep. That's Baba. This is Toot Toot.
Pero tú comprendo, no?
What do you mean, no comprende?
In San Augustine, not far from here, they have monolithic statues that are... Well, they go back to 500 B.C. But nobody knows who made them or where they came from.
I wish I could help you.
I'm sure you'd find a cold six-pack much more exciting.
Pete looks at Melissa. She smirks teasingly.
Oh, now have I hit on something that you hold dear and sacred?
Look, I led you on. I apologize.
Oh, please don't. Well, I'll just have an electrocardiogram when I get home. But I can assure you there's been no damage.
We're wasting valuable time bickering. Who knows what's happened to that boy by now? I'll just see what's holding up the captain.
A woman and five children watch Blythe.
Why are you all staring at me?
It's a conspiracy!
What?
Si,
what? Siesta centavos. Okay, just a moment. Don't go away. I'll get it for you. Siesta centavos. Siesta centavos.
The woman holds out a hand. Blythe hands her money.
Here. Yes, we're getting it for you. Please, I beg you, don't hang up. Yes, I'll be right with you. I love your country. It's very colorful. Children have such expressive faces.
You're gonna have it to change, woman!
Don't, please, don't go away. I'll get it for you, I'll get it for
you. Behind Blythe, Louise ends the call.
Are you still there? Hello? Hello? Hello?
She's gone. Took me 2 hours just to get the operator. She's gone. Just like that.
Hello?
The woman holds out the change. Louise pushes her hand away.
How will I explain this to the company?
Yes. You just tell Aunt Louise all about it.
I'll take away my command.
Yes.
It'll take away my sheep.
Oh, your sheep. Oh.
In the mountains, Herbie drives over a bridge spanning a river far below.
I think we lost them. The one thing I still can't figure out, why would those men want a picture like this, Ocho?
Paco holds the film strip. He shrugs.
It's kind of lonely around here, huh, Ocho? When we're safe from those men, we go back where there's lots of people. Ha-ho-cho?
Paco grins. Meanwhile, Quinn looks down from the plane.
We've got him! Why don't we go down and force him off the road?
Because we just might come off second best.
Well, what's a bug and a kid gonna do?
Something quite unexpected, I assure you. We'll wait till it stops.
The plane flies above Herbie. Elsewhere, the bus bumps over a dirt road. Steam jets up from its radiator. Blythe dozes in the back.
Will it make Chiclayo?
Not a prayer.
How long do you give it?
About a minute.
Maybe we should alert the captain. He'd want to know about this.
He'll be alerted. Any second now.
A radiator blows. The bus jerks to a stop. The engine bursts into flames. A fender falls off. A tire blows, then the front bumper drops off. The back door falls off its hinges.
Town General Quarters! Is every man for himself? Have you put out distress signals?
Oh, we will. 5 of them.
DJ leaves the bus. Blythe stares through wild eyes, his skin sunburned. Now, Herbie sits parked near a wooded area. A man leading a donkey approaches. Paco lies in the front seat.
Maybe we can go to Santiago and work there, Ocho. Those men will never find us there. Don't worry, Ocho. I'll take care of you.
Oye, niño. El señor en la cantina necesita un taxi. Ándale pronto.
Sí.
Apúrate.
Wake up, Ocho. We gotta go to work. A man in the cantina needs a taxi. We can see him later.
Herbie drives away from the wooded area. The man gazes after them. Later, Herbie parks outside an establishment. Paco gets out. Paco pats Herbie's hood, then enters the building.
Someone want a taxi?
Prindle sits nearby.
Just the driver.
Paco turns. His eyes widen. Paco darts toward the door. Quinn closes it and grabs Paco. Quinn carries Paco outside. They approach the plane.
Ocho!
Herbie drives around the corner of the building.
Ocho!
The plane door closes. Paco pounds on the window. As the plane speeds across a field, Herbie follows.
Let me go!
Prindle taps Shepard, who looks over his shoulder. Paco pounds on the window. The plane lifts off. Herbie kicks up a cloud of dust as he makes a U-turn in the dry field. Now, Louise walks away from a cart.
Bye-bye.
Blythe and Melissa face a resident.
How's it going?
I'm telling them not to hold the ship at Port of Spain, but go directly to Tobago, where I'll join them there. I hate to think of what's happened to that ship in my absence. Okay, get this off immediately. It goes to the communication center of the Sun Princess. Are you certain that the pigeon understands that?
Si, señor, capitán.
He certainly knows his pigeons.
There's an airport in Chiclayo about 12 miles further on.
Yes, but there's no transportation from here to Chiclayo.
Herbie drives up.
It's the same car. I was so worried. Thank heavens.
Herbie stops and opens his doors. The group runs toward him.
It's the same car, but where's the boy? I think he wants to tell us something.
It's a car, woman, not Lassie.
Where is Paco? I know something terrible's happened to him. Come on. Get in. Everybody, get in.
I am not getting into that sardine can again.
It's a 12-mile walk to Chiclayo, so make up your mind.
And hurry! Get in here!
Now!
Herbie takes off, with Blythe still climbing inside, now high above a winding river.
What about that down there?
Yeah, that could be it.
Shepard looks at a map, then down at the river.
Gentlemen, we're right on the money.
Sunlight glints on the river. Now, lightning flashes as clouds roll across a dark sky. Now off the plane, Paco walks through a rainstorm.
Together now! Pull!
Prindle tugs on a vine. Quinn uncovers a large metal disc the size of a manhole cover. Shepard heaves on another vine. The disc tumbles to the ground. Shepard and Prindle approach the disc.
What do you think?
Gold! Probably pure gold! More than that, it has tremendous archaeological value.
You think there's more around here?
Plenty!
What do we do with it?
I say we get this out of here now, then come back with tools and do it upright, okay?
You got it.
The three men carry the engraved metal disc through the jungle. Shivering, Paco runs after them.
Wait! Come on, me!
Get out of here, kid!
Shepard shoves Paco into a puddle.
I don't want leaving that kid back there.
Don't worry about him. He's not going anywhere.
Elsewhere, Herbie drives through the rain.
Does anyone know where we are?
The car does, I'm sure.
Well, ask it, will you? I would, but we're not on speaking terms.
This is ridiculous. Somebody ought to do something.
I think we better just sit tight.
Easy for you.
Melissa uncomfortably squirms in the back seat. Blythe sits crammed between her and Louise. Now, Paco sits sheltered by stone ruins. He clutches his hands together in front of him and looks around the wet, dark jungle. The rain stops falling. Paco looks up. Paco ventures out into the darkness. Paco whirls around. He looks behind him. He trips and falls. Paco gets to his feet, dashes into a cluster of lush vegetation, and ducks. Herbie drives down a jungle path. He comes to a stop near the ruins. Pete and DJ glance around.
Ocho!
Paco runs out to the car and hugs Herbie's hood. Pete picks up Paco and deposits him in the car.
Paco, what are you doing out here in the middle of the jungle? We were worried sick about you.
Those men, they were stealing gold. Big gold like this.
Where'd they get gold around here?
Right there. It looks like Inca ruins.
See, it's Inca. They will fly away the gold and they will melt it. I hear them.
I'll see that the matter is brought to the attention of the proper authorities when we put in at Rio.
That might be too late. Go, Ocho!
Herbie speeds into the dark jungle. Elsewhere, the three villains carry the disc toward their plane.
What's that?
Come on, will you? Give us a hand. Let's keep moving. Come on.
Herbie's headlights shine through the dark.
Oh, no. It's a car.
Prindle and Shepard drop the disc, and Herbie catches it in his trunk.
It ain't the gold.
How did it get out here?
Herbie drives away. The three men run after him, then stop.
There goes $1 million.
No way.
Now, three trucks carry tidy loads of bananas along a sun-dappled mountain road. Herbie drives behind the last truck. Bananas completely cover him. Inside, DJ eats a banana.
700 miles on a banana boat with wheels. I'll be laughed off the Caribbean.
It worked, didn't it? Those men in the airplane, they couldn't find us.
It was a good idea, Paco.
How much farther?
We're practically there.
Okay, get ready to peel off.
Everyone looks at DJ.
Sorry.
Pete turns left. The banana-covered Herbie drives along a side road, then approaches a security gate. A guard leans out of his booth as the banana-covered car pulls up.
We're looking for Dr. DeMore's office.
He's upstairs, in the main building.
I'll call up police.
Hello?
Louise gets out.
You go on, I'll wait here.
Life follows.
Ah!
May I use your phone? It's very important. Thank you.
Life spots a truck.
Hey! Are you going towards the scene? It's vitally important. I return to my ship. Wait! Wait! I must...
Life chases the truck and hops in the back.
Dr. DeMore's?
Yes.
Melissa, Pete, and DJ enter, carrying the disc.
What we've gone through to get this to you.
Prindle and Quinn enter from a side room.
And what we've gone through to get it from you. When we couldn't find you on the highway, we decided that you'd either gone to the nearest police station or to the world's foremost authority on Inca civilization. I guessed right.
Outside, Paco sells bananas from Herbie.
Nice ripe bananas. They're good for brains. Nice ripe bananas. Get them while they last. Very cheap. Nice ripe bananas. Let's make a deal on a peel.
Elsewhere.
Let's do this thing together. I don't want this to get away from us.
Prindle and Quinn carry the disc toward the plane. Shepard starts the plane's engine.
Ocho, listen. Sounds like the airplane those men had. Let's go see.
Herbie drives down a curving road. He pauses atop a set of stairs. Below, Prindle and Quinn struggle toward the plane with the disc.
Hey, can't do anything. Come on.
Ocho, what are you going to do? They're taking the gold.
Herbie opens a door, flinging bananas to the ground at the villain's feet.
Attaboy, Ocho!
Herbie opens his other door. Bananas fly through the air.
Sorry, boss.
Prindle falls. The disc pins him down.
Get this thing off of me!
Herbie complies.
You idiot!
Hey, come on! Hurry up, let's go!
Get this thing off of me!
Shepard runs to help his associates. He slips on bananas and falls.
Give me that thing.
The three men try to stand.
I can't get a grip on it. You're gonna lift it, all right? Come on, come on.
Let's do this side
now.
Mashed banana covers the three men. They struggle to stand with the disc. Quinn holds his glasses in his teeth. The three men stumble toward the plane, then fall. Paco grins and claps.
Hurry up, Quinn.
Bananas fly into the plane's propeller. Banana sludge showers on the three men.
Say what you want about voodoo, but where I come from, cars don't throw bananas, you know?
Just get it in the plane.
Prindle and Quinn heave the disc into the plane. Shepard sits inside and helps them put the disc down. Prindle and Quinn get on the plane.
Ocho, they're getting away! Hurry!
Paco sits and closes the sunroof. Herbie backs up to his left. He speeds down the road. The plane taxis over a paved area.
Come on, let's get this thing out of here.
With this extra weight, I'm gonna need the whole field to take off.
Well, hurry up, here it comes again.
Herbie drives along the top of a hill next to a field. Herbie descends the bumpy hill toward the taxiing plane. Paco jostles inside.
You think he's gonna try and hijack us?
Anything's possible with that thing.
Get him, Ocho! Stay with him!
Herbie drives behind the plane, staying close to its tail.
Wonder what it's gonna do now.
I don't know.
Well, take off! Come on, take off!
I'm trying!
Herbie opens his hood.
Right at our tail. I think he's trying to chew it off. Do we need
anyone?
Kirby rears up, then closes his hood around the tail wing.
Don't let go of the boy that shot us! Shake him, Ocho! Shake him, man!
Quinn loses his grip on the disc. It rolls into the plane's tail. The tail slips from Herbie's hood and drags on the ground.
I can't take off with all that weight in the tail! Go get it!
Quinn crawls into the tail.
Catch it when I raise the tail!
Gotcha!
The tail lifts. The disc rolls toward Quinn.
Go for it, Ocho! Now!
Herbie bites the tail. Herbie swerves, but holds on.
Shake it off!
The plane swerves left. Herbie veers right. He crashes into bats and balls on the field.
Come on, Ocho, you can't give up now! They're getting away!
Herbie spins his wheels and struggles to get up the hill. The plane turns around at the end of the field. Herbie reverses off the hill and drives back onto the field. The plane picks up speed. Herbie drives toward it.
He's gonna ram us!
Herbie races toward the plane's tail.
Do something!
The tail now bends to the right.
Why are we going in circles?
Because he broke my tail, that's why!
Herbie does a U-turn. He drives alongside the plane.
Now get in front of him! Make him stop!
Get this thing off the ground!
Herbie parks in front of a soccer goal. The plane rushes toward it.
We're gonna hit him! Pull up! Pull up!
She's stalling!
The plane lifts off. It falls with its tail on the soccer goal. The tail breaks off. The plane moves forward without it.
They're still going, Ocho!
Herbie chases the tailless plane around the field.
What's the matter?
The throttle jammed open!
The plane taxis between a post with megaphones and a bulldozer.
My wings!
Herbie drives over the broken-off wings.
You heard, Ocho? You don't sound so good. Don't quit now! You can do it!
Can you step it up?
I'm hurrying.
In the office, Melissa unties DJ.
Don't move your feet
first. Got it. Good. DJ.
Outside, Louise waves at arriving police.
Police! I'm so glad you're here. I was the one who called you.
The tailless, wingless plane drives along.
Stay with him! Go! Are you sure?
Herbie chases the plane. Louise follows in a police car trailed by two motorcycles.
Can't you make this thing go any faster?
The oil pressure's down. I don't want to ruin my plane.
Prindle and Quinn stare at Shepard. The chase continues along the peaceful campus, taking a winding turn.
They got the goal!
Now, Melissa, DJ, and Pete stand untied. On their way out, DJ pauses to untie the professor.
Stop! You'll never get away!
Melissa, DJ, and Pete descend a stairwell. They run outside.
Okay, Ocho! You got him now! Get him to him!
The plane runs into a chain stretched between two poles. The nose and propeller fly off. The plane tips backward. The disc rolls out and spins on the pavement.
You did it!
Paco! Paco!
Paco, are you all right?
Ocho and me, we okay. You had to see those other guys.
The remainder of the plane collapses. Police surround it.
No se muevan. Quédense ahí.
Bueno, todos ustedes, sálganse de ahí. Sálganse de ahí, les digo. No se muevan.
Now, the Sun Princess sails over a calm ocean. Blythe enters the lounge. Louise spots him. She turns toward a jukebox. Louise dances in a dramatic tango style, sweeping her arms around and above her and cocking her shoulders. Pink bows in her hair bounce as she moves. Blythe freezes. His jaw drops open as Louise dances.
Gorgeous.
Just magnificent.
I always felt, Captain, that you have a deep appreciation
light steps toward Louise.
Any man of the sea who wouldn't want her rolling under him is ready for dry dock.
Louise spins.
Wow.
Blythe rushes past her and stares out a window. Louise's smile fades.
Magnificent.
An old-fashioned sailing ship with three square-rigged masts glides on the ocean. Blythe's eyes glitter. Louise strokes his arm, then leaves. Blythe, oblivious, gives a salute. Now a fully restored Herbie sits in a stateroom. Melissa and Pete stand by as DJ inspects the car.
I'm not admitting the kid's a better driver than I am, but he sure can get more out of that car than I can. And they're really...
simpatico.
Yeah, simpatico.
Melissa smiles, her long wavy hair framing her lovely face. Louise arrives.
Well?
Louise gives a resigned smile.
If I had billowed out like a schooner under full sail, I might have shivered his timbers.
She crouches by Herbie.
I hope we win this one.
Don't you worry, Aunt Louise. This is the car that's going to win the Gran Premio of Brazil.
That's right.
Driver, start your engine.
Paco enters in a red and silver racing suit. Paco gets in the driver's seat.
Looking good, Ocho!
Why do you keep calling this car Ocho? Ocho means eight. Can't you read the numbers?
Sure I can read the numbers. 5 and 3 are 8. Anyone knows that.
DJ rolls his eyes.
Well, let's have a toast. To victory in Rio.
Victory!
Paco gives a thumbs up. The ship plunges ahead over the sunlit sea.
It takes one to be one. Take some time till the lights start shining on a friendship. A friend. Step up if you need one. Stick out your hand. They soon understand it's a friendship. A Buenos Dias.
Appear. The end. This film has been described by Deluxe with funding by Walt Disney Studios. Voiced by Laura Post.